Over the last 3 weeks, the first reading we've had in this season of Lent has been explaining to us the development of the covenant that God has made with his people. First we had Noah, and then we had Abraham, and last week Moses and the law. Today, that covenant seems to be shaken. Because as we heard, through the infidelity after infidelity, the people who were not killed went into exile. Two of the promises of the covenant with Abraham were land and people and offspring. It seems they have lost both of those, because so many of the Israelite people were murdered through the wars, and everyone who was left was brought into captivity, into slavery. If we remember, we started in slavery, and the Exodus brought us out into freedom. It was on the mountain of Sinai that the commandments were given to the Israelite people to keep them out of slavery. If they were only to be faithful to God and his law, they would remain free forever. That's where we left off last week. And then today, we hear what happens when they were not faithful, that they went into captivity. That passage from 2 Chronicles is a good synopsis of all of that salvation history. In one of the orderings of the traditional Jewish texts, this is the last part of their holy scriptures. The last thing that they read is this, reminding them of why they lost their land, why they lost their temple. But it ends with hope. And a hope in a way that maybe they were not expecting. And when we reflect and bring that scripture into our own life, it shines a light into how God works in our lives. Because God chose Cyrus, the pagan king, the one who was outside of the promise, to be the one to set them free. These Israelites, people, they prided themselves on being separate, of being the only one with the promise, the only one who had a God so close to them that gave them his law. And it was someone who was outside of the promise who set them free, who said, go back to your homeland. He said, God has given me the command to rebuild the temple that was lost, the temple that Solomon built, the grand temple as a symbol of the presence of God within his people that was lost because of their infidelity. It was an outsider, a foreigner, an unclean man who allowed them back into freedom. For 70 years, they were in captivity. So we can imagine that most of, if not all, the people who left into captivity had died somewhere along the way. That those people who were allowed back into the land had never been there before, had only heard about it from their ancestors. They were released back to their homeland, a land that was foreign to them. But because they had told the story, as we sang in the responsorial psalm, that we will not forget you, we will continue to tell the story. These people went back to rebuild their temple, to rebuild their life, to reclaim their land. So have you ever had a bad day? Or a bad couple of days? And felt abandoned by God? His chosen people had 70 years of bad days. We can only imagine that they felt abandoned by God. How often do we feel abandoned by God when things don't go our way? When, because of the poor choices that we make, we must face the consequences to our actions. And that's what happened to the chosen people. They were in captivity because of their own infidelity. We can only imagine how abandoned they felt. But God did not forget them. God did not abandon them. In our own misery and our own sufferings, when we feel like we've been abandoned, sometimes God comes to us in the most unexpected ways, as he did with Cyrus, the king of Persia, the pagan, the unclean man. We have to allow our hearts to be open to the extraordinary ways that God comes to us each day. And this is what prepares us to receive the gospel message, that the cross is a sign of life. This is what Jesus is trying to convince Nicodemus, that God, who is love, sent his Son into the world to die for us. And it's through his death that we have life. We hear this so often that sometimes maybe we forget about the powerful impact this is. What an amazing reality this is. What an extraordinary gift this is. That God chose the most torturous way to die as a way to give us life. How open are you to God's extraordinary action in your life? How open are you to the love of God that may come to you in a way that you've never imagined before? So often we get stuck in our own way of life, expecting things to go the way that we want them to go. And when they don't, we kind of give up. The Israelite people never forgot their promise. God never forgot his covenant. He sent his Son to die for us. So he could use the pagan man. He can use whatever means he thinks is necessary for us to reclaim this covenantal relationship. This is the mercy of God. This is the joyful aspect of our faith that we celebrate today. That God has given us this journey of joy during this season of Lent as we prepare for the Paschal mystery, for the death and resurrection of Jesus. And it's so easy to become just common and mundane. That, yeah, Christ is on the cross. I wear it around my neck. There's no big deal. I'm used to it. The death of God has set us free. This is the powerful thing that we celebrate every time we come to Mass. That God can use the most extraordinary things in your lives to open your heart to his mercy. The mercy that we don't earn. The free gift, the grace that we heard about from St. Paul in the second reading. The season of Lent helps us to remind ourselves of the promise of God's mercy. And that despite our own infidelity, despite our own waywardness, God never gives up. Let us ask for that grace, to have our hearts open to the extraordinary ways that he will come to us, to invite us back into this friendship, so that in a few weeks, we can joyfully celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Amen.